Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. The season is quickly coming to an end. Week 15 already. Three more regular season weeks to go. Should I keep talking? Is Gary there? Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we lost you on video. Gary Grambling
on Skype
is
this week. Skyping in. VIP, just deciding when he can come into the office.
Let me set the stage. I am Jimmy Traynor, one of your co-hosts, along with Gary Grambling and Mitch Goldidge. Gary is usually in studio, but he's home today. So we're looking at him on a monitor, and then like it disappeared. So I thought you weren't there. So that's why I had a terrible intro. But hello, gentlemen. Welcome to week 15 here in the NFL. How were the best bets last week? Let's start with you, Gary.
Oh, what did I do? 2-3-1?
Yes, I have the sheet open.
Yeah.
What was Mitch's
record?
Yeah,
it was, Jimmy, you warned me about that Bucks-Colts over, and Jameis Winston, just to rub it in, was like, I'm gonna throw touchdown passes to both teams, just nonstop, just touchdown after touchdown.
I warned you about it, and then I didn't bet the over, and then I end up going 1-4, 1-3 with my pathetic best bets. What was Mitch's record?
I was 2-1. Jimmy, you
one
and I,
winner.
Yeah, you and I both got hit with that. We both had the Seahawks -1 against the Rams.
Gary had the Rams, yeah. I think, last week.
I didn't. I don't best bet against the Seahawks because I think they're just the most fluke-filled games imaginable. I believe I said I was best betting it in spirit, but I would not. It's kind of like the Chargers for you, Jimmy. I would not bet against the Seahawks because just for whatever reason, weird things happen in their games.
I thought the Rams were maybe done a little bit, but they've bounced back nicely here, and obviously they have the big game on Sunday, which we'll get to when we run down the schedule.
I think I have best bet the Seahawks 6 times in the 8 weeks or whatever we've been doing this podcast. And I think, Gary, I think we're going to keep having the same argument about them all the way to the NFC Championship game. So look forward to it.
Well, if we're going to talk about the Seahawks, we might as well get rolling with week 15 because the first game that we're going to preview for you is Seattle in Carolina against the deflated, defeated, and just dunzo Carolina Panthers. The Seahawks are -6 on the road in Carolina, total 48.5, Gary.
Yeah, I was going to say, this one might have been interesting in the first half of the season. By all accounts, I mean, the Panthers are done. We talked about it a little bit last week. I know, Mitch, you had mentioned, the Ron Rivera firing was not a matter of, like, an unpopular coach with the players going away. He was very popular with the players, and you know, if anything, at best, I think it was a neutral move for the current season. But I mean, Dante Jackson was complaining about the play calling last week. It seems like it's just going to be a really messy finish for the Panthers here. I'd probably stay away anyway because, again, I don't like betting Seahawks games because too many weird fluky things happen. But I'd lean Seahawks here.
Mitch?
Yeah, so I agree with a lot of what you said at the beginning until you got to the end about not betting the Seahawks, which, you know, I love doing. We've talked, and you have all the body clock stats for all the teams, Gary, but I think we've talked earlier this year that the Seahawks, for whatever reason, they have bucked the trend and they've been better than most teams. I remember reading about that the week they were coming to Philly and people were talking about it and they said, well, actually, Seattle's history in these 1 o'clock games, they're fine. This year they've already won in Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Atlanta, and Philly, which are all in the Eastern time zone. So I definitely like the Seahawks to rebound here. I do wish it was a little bit lower than 6. This will not be a best bet for me this week, but still under a touchdown. That's definitely the way that I lean, and I feel fine picking Seattle -6.
You know, the Seahawks burned me last week, so I'd love to go back to them this week. I won't best bet them, but I do like Seattle -6. I mean, Carolina's just, they're done. If you're Christian McCaffrey, why would you even play another down for the rest of the season?
I know.
But this isn't a regular football podcast. This is a gambling podcast where you got to win money. So all I can say is I would lean Seahawks here -6. I like Seattle, Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll after a loss. I think those guys pull it together and get an easy win in Carolina. Next game, we'll see if all the filming and video cameras help the Patriots. because, of course, they need it to beat the Bengals here. New England at Cincinnati. Patriots, 9.5-point favorites with the film on the sidelines. The total here is 40.5, Mitch.
Yeah, so everything we know about the Patriots from the last, I don't know, 15 years, whatever, you'd think they're going to be motivated to just totally run up the score here against the Bengals and not just win but blow them out. But the question, and it's fair to ask, is can they? And even though you go into this game and you figure they're the better team and you expect them to win, you know, their offense has been a problem all year, and early in the season it was masked by how amazing their defense was and the fact that their defense was literally scoring a touchdown or two every week. But, you know, I think it's going to be hard for them to really run it up. I was looking this up. The Patriots have not won a game by double digits since October 27th, which just feels like forever ago. The Bengals have been more competitive lately. We know they got their one win. Then again, Jimmy, you did say, you know, they have all their important signals. So you figure from that 8 minutes of footage, they're going to know every single play that the Bengals are calling on offense and defense. It's a little tricky because there is that vengeance factor, and you know, maybe New England shows up and wins by 30, but I think the spread's a little big, so I'm happy to take Bengals plus 9.5, take the points.
Yeah, I mean, listen, maybe now they have a chance against Andy Dalton that they have the film on him. Gary?
Yeah, it's, again, it's, Bengals defense has been all right this year. You know, they got run up on by the 49ers and the Ravens, as a lot of teams have, but other than that, they haven't given up 27 points in a game this season. You know, last 4 weeks, 17, 16, 6, and 27 to opponents. So you'd probably lean Bengals here. I'll throw out one betting system that does favor the Patriots, and that's road teams who have failed to cover the spread in three of their last four in December games are 45 and 17 against the spread over the last five seasons. Patriots, as you know, are always good against the spread every year. I'd probably still lean Bengals here. I think it's going to be a low enough scoring game. Yeah, I don't know. What is this, like a 20-13 type of final?
I don't know. I think it'll be bigger than that. I'll take the Patriots. You're laying less than 10 here with the line being 9.5, which I love. I think, listen, I was at one point last week so beyond impressed that New England was in a situation where they could have won that game. Yeah. When you look at the talent on one side of the ball and the talent on the other with the Chiefs, and obviously, you know, we're not going to get into the whole referee situation, but I do think, listen, the receivers are pathetic. The offense is not what it is, what it needs to be. I think the closing the coffin on the Patriots is a little premature, and I think with the whole nonsense this week with the video stuff, I have a feeling Brady and Belichick do a number here on the Bengals, but we'll see what happens. Listen, it's not like you have a ton of confidence in the Patriot offense, but I could see here the defense, maybe, you know, defensive touchdown here. You know, special teams have still been great for the Patriots. So I like laying less than 10 here with 9.5. Next game, we go to Detroit. The Bucks. So I mean, you know, I've said on this podcast I can't bet the Chargers. Gary said he can't bet the Seahawks. There's no weirder team than the Bucks, basically because of Jameis Winston. They go into Detroit, giving a field goal and a half, 3.5 road favorites here for the Bucks against the Lions, who were, you know, inept against the Vikings last week. Total here is 47.5, basically because of the Bucks. Gary.
Yeah, I like the Bucks quite a bit in this game. It's. One, I just don't think the Lions are going to score points. I think David Blau was a nice Thanksgiving Day story, and now it's sort of, you know, coming back down. He wasn't terrible against Minnesota, but he was terrible. He was just kind of what we expected he would be when you know, a guy who wasn't on the roster a couple of weeks ago ends up your starting quarterback. The thing with the Lions, though, is they're so bad defensively. They have very quietly become the worst defensive team in football. You'd think the issue would be the Matthew Stafford injury, but no, they are just awful defensively. Every opposing quarterback is lighting them up. They don't get many takeaways either. So, obviously, Jameis can figure out ways to turn the ball over like seven times in any given game, but I think he's just going to light him up. I think this is going to be like a you know, four touchdown, one interception type of performance for Jameis, and they're just going to win this one like, you know, 28-10.
Mitch?
Well, I think we've confirmed that no Bucks fans listen to this podcast, because I have not been getting hounded by any on Twitter, and I have been more aggressively anti-Bucks than anyone has been on maybe any team this season. My strategy all year has been just pick against them every single game, and they're going to go 6-10, and you're going to lose a few, but it's going to work out in the end. And man, I've gotten burned a few weeks in a row here. I'm ready to admit that I'm wrong. I don't know if I'm reverse jinxing it or double jinx. You know, Gary, you know this. Whenever there's a reverse, the media people call it a double reverse, and then you get the people who are like, that's not a double reverse, it's just a reverse. Well, anyway, I don't know if this is a double reverse jinx or what exactly I'm doing, but I will finally pick the Bucks for the first time all year and take them -3.5. I stand behind everything that I've said all year about Jameis, and the people who talk about bringing him back next year or giving him a contract, or the worst is the people who are like, well, they still have some time to wait and see what they have in him. Like, you know what you have in him, but people are talking about him like you don't. But again, Sin, you know, is not a great week for the David Blau hype train, which was really picking up steam after Thanksgiving, I think. So this is a gross game. I hope to watch as little of it as possible, and it will not be a best bet for me. But I will finally admit that I like Bucks -3.5.
I was shocked that the total here was 47, given what the Patriots have on offense these days. But I know every Bucks game goes over. I think it's like 8 of the last 9 or 9 of the last 10 or something like that.
Yeah. Lions, Jimmy, not Patriots.
Yeah.
Mike Evans is out,
which
could be a factor. I picked up Rashad Perriman in about every fantasy league that I'm in.
Right. That's an excellent point there with Evans being out. That's a factor as well. You know, I don't know. This is a weird game for me. I can't lay points with the Bucks on the road, and I think the total's high, but again, Jameis and the Bucks are complete freak shows in these games, so I have to stay away from this one myself. Next game is in Green Bay. Packers giving 4.5 points to the Bears. Big game here in the NFC there. Total 41, Mitch.
Yeah, a rematch of that delightful 10-3 slugfest on opening night, which feels like forever ago. So the Bears have won 3 in a row, and I feel like people are hyping them up. Part of it might be because, like, the last two were in prime time and one Thanksgiving, so people have seen them, and Trubisky is looking better, which just makes people more confident in them. But their defense is also playing better too. I think they gave up 24 to Dallas last week. Before that, they held teams to 20 or fewer points 4 weeks in a row. So that unit is playing pretty well. The Packers, they're kind of a strange team to figure out because, you know, there are some weeks where they look like they're really in that top tier in the NFC. And then there are some weeks where you watch them and they just clearly look like they're a cut below that top three, especially, you know, that game against San Francisco that they had in primetime. So this could go either way. And I think it's going to be a close game. I lean toward the Bears, partly just because I'm happy to get those points. 4.5 feels like a lot. This one, it wouldn't have surprised me if the line here was like a field goal. But at 4.5, a close game that Chicago could win, they're playing well, I'm happy to take the points there. So that's, I lean that way.
I don't love the Packers at all. And I'm so nervous about getting sucked into Mitchell Trubisky here, but I think I would take the points. I think the Bear defense, I think they can keep it close, and I like the 4.5. Getting those if you know, Trubisky, you always got to hold your breath. But I lean Bears here. I like the 4.5 points. We go now to Kansas City. Interesting.
Wait a second. I don't get to share my Trubisky thoughts.
I'm sorry. My bad. Go ahead.
Gary,
my favorite
on Skype,
quarterback in
out
football.
Of sight, out
you're
of
throwing
mind.
Me off because you're on the computer instead of across from me.
My max headroom presence is not enough this week. Yeah, look, low scoring game, 4.5 is a fairly big number for a game that figures to be played in the teens or maybe low 20s. I lean the Packers just because you look at what Trubisky did last week. I think the number was like 3.5 air yards per completion, which is nothing. I mean, that's just all throwing short and catch and run type stuff, and the Cowboys decided they weren't going to tackle anyone on Thursday night. I think it was more a case of terrible defense than good offense, even though it was better offense. He did put like three more balls into grave danger that he got away with. And he ran more. He ran more, and I think if the Packers are prepared for that as they were to open the season, I just don't think the Bears are going to go anywhere offensively in this game. So I could definitely picture this being like a 24-10 type of final for the Packers.
I'm glad I ended up letting you speak because you made the point for me of why I like the Bears in this game. I like that Trubisky's just throwing 3 yard passes in the air. If he's throwing it more than that, that's when I'm going to be nervous. He throws it 3 yards in the air and there's not going to be any picks. And if he's throwing 3 yard passes and running, I think that's the formula. So I got to go. I got a 20-17 final here, so we'll see how that goes. So thank you for helping me out there. All right, I'll go to you first for this one. Broncos coming off one of the most shocking games of the season where they just annihilated Houston last week. Go into Kansas City. Chiefs minus 10. Total 46.5. Chiefs obviously coming off the win against the Patriots. Drew Luck, is it like, beginner's luck? Or Drew Lock, I should say, beginner's luck. Will there be a little film on him, and then maybe Casey could go to work a little bit? The Casey defense all of a sudden now a legitimate unit, unlike in years past. So you have the prolific Chief offense giving 10 to the Broncos, 46.5, Gary.
Yeah, I was going to say, nothing else. The Chiefs defense no longer a liability, right? It looks like at this point. I do lean the Chiefs here. I think the Texans are such a mess defensively on the back end that I think they are ripe for basically getting lit up by anyone any given week. Drew Lock obviously did play really well in that game, and he's capable. He's a physically capable guy. Let's see what he does against a defense that's a little more organized than they are in Houston. But for that reason, yeah, I lean Chiefs on this one, and it's. I don't know where this line will end up. It might be the tiebreaker for me is if it rises to double digits, maybe I'd back off. But, I'd go Kansas City here.
Yeah, quick correction. I had said 10. The line is 9.5 for Kansas City, which I don't know if that impacts your pick.
Yeah. I think 10.5 is where I'd stay away, and if it gets into the 11-12 range, then you start thinking Broncos.
Well, you got it right now at 9.5, Mitch.
Well, and I was going to talk about the line. The line moved here a lot. I'm looking at Don Best, which always shows where it opened at. It opened at 13, and then was bet all the way down to 10 when we looked yesterday, and 9.5 now. So I would be surprised if it swings back in the other way. Maybe it will, but I don't think you're going to get it up to over 11. I'm on the Chiefs here, too. I thought going into the season they were the best team in the AFC, and it's been kind of a weird year for them. They started 4-0 and then ran into a rough patch. Mahomes was dealing with two different injuries, first the ankle and then the dislocated knee. But it feels like they're clicking, like you guys have said, and the defense is playing better. I think they're a team that's peaking for the playoffs. We talk about the Patriots being vulnerable, but if it was a Ravens-Chiefs AFC title game, I don't think that would surprise anybody, and I think that would be a fun game to see. It seems like everybody's on Denver since that line is moving, but I think it's moved down enough that down below that 10 number, I think I could definitely see them winning by double digits, and, I think they're both in danger of possible letdown games because they both had huge wins last week, the Chiefs against the Patriots and the Broncos against the Texans. But it kind of feels like because the Chiefs are playing for so much more, I think they're less in danger of a total letdown game. If you've got to just pick, how are these teams going to be if they're at full strength and full motivation and both play well, I think I feel comfortable with the Chiefs at that number.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs too here. Arrowhead is not whatever that stadium is that Houston plays in. So for a rookie quarterback going in there, it's a whole different ball game. Like Gary and I touched on, the Chief defense now is a legitimate unit. And, there's a lot of things going on last week in that game where Kareem Jackson was like using it as a revenge game. They were the Broncos were so amped up. I see a little bit of a letdown here. Now, I don't see the letdown here for the Chiefs as much, even after beating the Patriots. They think you come home. They're trying to get healthy, the home field, all that stuff. So I like laying less than 10 here. So I like the Chiefs minus 9.5. Everyone is all over Lamar Jackson, and rightfully so. But, Mahomes, he does not seem to get the credit he deserves. He is so good. It's ridiculous. I feel like we're so into the flavor of the month, and Lamar Jackson's better than that. But, you hear MVP and you hear Lamar and Russell Wilson. Where's Patrick Mahomes' name mentioned? I mean, he is
Yeah, I think because his stats are down because he missed some games. I think if he played all 16 or all whatever it is to this point, you'd see his numbers up there on the leaderboard. I mean, we all agree Lauren Jackson's the MVP this season, but you're right. If he'd played every game and his numbers look there, even though they're not what his numbers were last season, it's still easier to, you know.
I feel like there's like a little bit of a lack of love going on there, but if you watch him, it's just so impressive every week. So I think they cover the 9.5 at home. Next game's a true pig. The Dolphins play the Giants. I guess it's Eli still minus 3.5 against Miami. Total here is 46.5, Mitch.
Yeah, this, like you said, gross. The Giants have, this is one where I had to look at the line and like double check it and make sure that I had the correct team favored. Right. And it's surprising to me that the Dolphins are plus 3.5 here. You know, the Giants have lost 9 in a row. They gave the Eagles all they could handle last week in overtime. But then again, the Dolphins beat Philly the week before. I think you have to go with Miami here. They've won 3 of their last 6. It's almost 4 of the last 6 because the end of that Dolphins-Jets game last week came down to that drive, the pass interference call, and a field goal at the gun. I just think they're a better team right now. And, you know, I mean, I would take Dolphins money line, but they're, you know, underdogs given 3.5. To me, this is like a no brainer. I can't believe that a game this ugly is going to be a best bet for me, but I think Dolphins plus 3.5 is a best bet for me.
Gary?
No, I agree with most of what Mitch said. I do think the Dolphins are again, they're a tier below the bad of the NFL. And it wouldn't shock me if the Giants went out and scored 30 points on them. That said, I mean, you know, everything Mitch said, plus the fact that Giants are coming off a Monday night game that went to overtime, short week. I mean, given more than a field goal here, that's too much. I think you got to at least lean Miami in this one.
Let me just say this about this game right here. Last week, I didn't want to bet the Monday night game because it was gross. And I thought maybe Eli throws like one of those games together and blah, 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 down on the Eagles. But Monday night, you got to bet it. You have no choice. So what do I bet? I bet over 17 points for the Giants. What was their halftime total?
Oh, 17.
What did they finish the game with? 17. Drop dead. I refuse to bet another Giant game the rest of the year. Let's move on.
It's interesting that that's your takeaway from that is to refuse to bet instead of choosing to get your revenge by betting against them.
You've got to move on. When there's a team that burns you, you just got to move on.
I'm now picturing you standing in front of the TV as they're doing the coin toss in overtime, pacing back and forth when the Eagles win. Well, they didn't get the ball in overtime, right? The Eagles just got it and drove down for a touchdown.
Well, I mean, once I got to overtime, I knew I was dead anyway. All right, next game's a good one, really good one. The Titans giving a field goal at home to the Texans. Total here is 49.5. A lot on the line in this one. Gary?
Yeah, I'll lean Titans here. I mean, look, I think these are two evenly matched teams. The numbers pretty much right here. The Texans are just such a mess defensively. And it just comes down to, okay, is Deshaun Watson gonna do the superhero thing this week? And as we've seen, it's, you know, he does it sometimes. He doesn't do it all the time, though. For that reason, though, I mean, you know, it's not like dealing with Derrick Henry. The Titans are working so many big play deep shots off of the run game right now, and I don't think the Texans secondary can handle anything right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if they gave up a couple, you know, 40, 50-yard touchdowns in this one. So I'll lean Tennessee at home.
Mitch?
Yeah, I'm with you. This is a really tough one. Looking at these teams, I think that the Texans have a higher ceiling, and when they play their best, they're the better team. But unfortunately for them, they don't necessarily show up at their best every week, including the game we saw last week, which really, I mean, the first half, you look at the final score and it doesn't look that bad, but that first half against Denver was just total no-show. The Titans, meanwhile, are just, I feel like they're quietly pretty good every week, and maybe it's not even that quiet anymore. Maybe now people are realizing they're a good team. The AFC, by the way, I think the AFC's gotten better as the season's gone along. Very early in the season, we were talking about how awful they were and who's going to win the sixth playoff spot. But now you look at it and it's like these two and the Steelers are kind of three teams fighting for two spots. You could throw the Bills in there and say 4-3, but I think the Bills are going to get in. So anyway, you've got these two teams and I think they're both deserving. But I think the move is to take the points here. I I look at the Texans and they look like a playoff team to me. And I think they're going to find a way to get those – to win enough games to get in. I just see that happening. So, you know, they could win the game. You get the points at least. I know they're on the road, but it's a short trip. I don't love this pick, and it's not a best bet. And but, you know, I still want to believe in the Texans for the rest of the season, and so I lean that way.
I'm going to say something I never thought I'd ever say in my life. I'm all in on Ryan Tannehill.
Ooh.
I love the Titans here, -3. I think he's got the career renaissance going. He's playing well. Who would have, you know, the nice narrative that was out there was that Adam Gase is the, you know, QB guru, and Tannehill gets away from Gase, and now he's lighting up the NFL. Numbers are better than, you know, Lamar Jackson and everyone else, basically. And I should have, before we started, checked on the Derrick Henry hamstring. I know he's playing, but I don't know. I'd like to know the percentage that he's at there. But down on Houston, like Gary said, their defense is really not stopping people. And you're only laying a field goal here at home. And I think that crowd's going to be fired up a lot on the line here. So I love just giving a field goal here with a hot Tennessee team. Next game is in Washington. The Eagles survive and are still alive after that overtime win against the Giants, giving 4.5 to the Redskins. Total here is 40. Mitch, your take on your Eagles.
Oh, boy. Alshon Jeffrey on IR. So the Eagles receivers. Jimmy, do you know who the Eagles' four receivers are going to be this week?
Well, let's see. Well, they have one receiver, Zach Ertz. That's about it. And I know
Dallas Goedert, yeah, too. Okay, their four receivers are going to be J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, yeah, Greg Ward, Josh Perkins, and Robert Davis, who they called up from the practice squad today. I follow the Eagles very closely. I had to look up Robert Davis on Wikipedia this week. And I also, not only did I have to look him up this morning, every time I say his name, I have to look down and read it. And because his name just can't stick in my mind. I know it's two generic names, but it's Robert Davis. I have to keep looking it down. There was a story last week that Josh McCown almost played wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knows all the routes, which is amazing. They had a spot, you know, the Eagles are one of those teams when you're down by 14 and then you score a touchdown, they like to go for two to try and cut it to six. And they didn't do that against the Giants because they didn't have the right personnel. They didn't have, they didn't have the two-point play going to Greg Ward. So it's, you know, they're in such a position. But Jimmy, like you said, they've got two good tight ends. They still found a way to win. I think the Eagles are going to win. It just feels like their season is building to that Week 16 game against Dallas, and it's going to come down to that. Looking at the Redskins, I still struggle to see how they're going to move the ball. Darius Geis is now out. We've talked all year about the Eagles' pass defense and how they're susceptible to big plays back there. And, you know, you can go through the whole list of receivers who've had huge days against them. But Dwayne Haskins, I think you're asking a lot if you're asking him to win the game that way. His passing yard totals the last five games, 170, 147, 156, 214, 144, and that includes two of their wins. So I know some people are going to say, well, he'll have better numbers against Philly, but I just don't know. I really, you know, the Redskins, I think they need to run the ball to have success and win the game, and I don't think they're going to be able to do that against Philly. So I think it's going to be ugly, but I think the Eagles are going to find a way to win. -4.5, I'll take the Eagles.
Gary?
Yeah, I lean Eagles. I've made the mistake of picking against Washington with big spreads the last 2 weeks, and I mean they won outright in Carolina, obviously, and then they hung around enough against the Packers last week to cover. But this number is not big enough to, you know, if they lose a game, or they should lose by like two touchdowns, like they have in some of these games this year where they've sort of gotten that backdoor cover or hung around enough to kick a field goal in the fourth quarter to like pull in to within 10 or whatever it might be, hanging around isn't quite enough with this number. So I'll lean Eagles despite all their issues and despite, again, like the Giants, short rest, overtime game, always a little bit worrisome.
I lean Redskins. I don't love them, but you're getting 4.5 at home against a team that, as Mitch detailed perfectly, has absolutely no weapons whatsoever. And they just have not played great. The fact that they needed overtime to beat the Giants is an alarming signal there. So I would lean Redskins. All right, that wraps up the 1 o'clock slate. We've got 5 4 o'clock games this week. Big late showing for you here on Sunday, so let's get to it. First game is in Arizona. The Browns go into Arizona. Cleveland, 2.5-point favorites against the Cardinals. Total here is 47.5, Gary.
I'll lean Arizona on this, and I took Arizona last week. I think in most places it didn't quite cover in that one against the Steelers, but the Steelers and the Rams 2 weeks ago as well, who really just absolutely spanked the Cardinals, those teams have sort of overwhelming front four pass rushes that really give the Cardinals problems because they can't block, and you have a 5'10" quarterback who has a ton of pressure, has a ton of trouble when you just put pressure right in his face immediately. I don't think the Browns really have that. On top of that, weird things happen in Arizona. It's a tougher place to travel to and play. And on top of that, who knows what you're going to get from the Browns offensively. So I consider this one more of a pick'em type of game. So I'll take the Cardinals and the points, and I'll think about whether I want to make this one a best bet or not.
Mitch?
Gary, I disagree with you. I like the Browns here, and it was a pretty easy pick for me. I think the Cardinals have really fallen off. I said this before, definitely last week, that Arizona started the season as like a sneaky good team against the spread. I think they were 7-3 at one point, and they just haven't been as competitive lately. You talked about Murray dealing with pressure. He's been sacked, I think, 15 times in the last three games. Last week, he threw three picks. I just think they have all kinds of problems right now. It's their third straight home game, but they're 1-5-1 at home this year, straight up. So, you know, the Browns, they've been the Browns all year, and we've talked plenty about what a disappointment they've been, but they still have something to play for. It's funny, I still think that they're going to get to 8-8. And last year there was all this talk about how what a milestone it would be for them to get to 500. They finished 7-8-1 because they lost in week 17, I guess, if I'm remembering that right. And this year they'll be 8-8, and everyone will view it as a massive disappointment because people expected them to, be in the playoff hunt all season and everything. But I think they're the better team. I think they're going to get a win here, giving up less than a field goal. I know they're on the road, but it doesn't strike me as a tough place to play. So I'm happy to take Cleveland.
I like Arizona a lot. I wish the line was 3 instead of 2.5. But, when was the last time the Cleveland Browns played a really good game? I mean, they blew out the Dolphins at home, okay? They had that win against the Steelers at home, 21-7, but that was the helmet game with the Steel. Mason Rudolph played in that game. The Browns just don't have an impressive win this year. Now, listen.
They beat the Bills.
They beat the Ravens earlier in the season. But I'm talking back end here, last several weeks. They have not had that great. Odell Beckham's a mess already there. I think I'm with Mitch. Arizona's fallen off. Kyler Murray has fallen off. But that Steeler defense last week is a lot better than Cleveland's defense. Gary said something. Weird things happen in the desert. And the Browns are a weird team, too. So I think that's a recipe here for Arizona pulling out some bizarre win, late in the game, basically.
I will say that at the 2.5, the Zane Gonzalez revenge game worries me a little bit. But
I hope it comes through.
I'm not gonna be swayed.
Next
game. Think Zane Gonzalez never got a win with the Browns, did he? I'll look it up while we start the next one.
We can't delay the pod because of Zane Gonzalez.
His career record.
So you look that up. Well, I tell the listeners that the next game is in Oakland with the Jaguars visiting the Raiders. The Raiders, 6.5-point favorites over the Jaguars, who now get blown out every week. The total is 45.5, Mitch.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of teams that are completely toast and have packed it in, the Raiders are struggling, but the Jags might literally be the worst team in the league right now. They have 5 straight losses by 3 scores, and it just feels like we see them fall behind early and then get blown out. It doesn't even matter who's at quarterback for them. It was, Foles and Minshew, and they're, trading places, getting blown out. They're just a bad team. Then you look at the Raiders, who also they have 3 straight losses by 20 or more. They were really embarrassed against the Jets and Chiefs in back-to-back weeks, and then last week they lost to the Titans. It's hard to bet on either of them, but I just think the Jags are so lost. The Raiders, is this the Raiders' last game ever in Oakland? They are at home. I think this might be, in which case you wonder about the emotion in the building and how meaningful that's going to be for them and their fans. So I think I've got to lean that way. This is not going to be a best bet for me, but I think...
You are right, Dave. At the Chargers at the Broncos.
Yeah, so given that, I don't know how much of a boost that is, but, you know, Raiders favored by less than a touchdown. I lean toward them this week.
Gary?
Yeah, I know. It is a really tough game to pick. I have a slight Jacksonville lean just because I think the Raiders are really struggling to pull something consistent together offensively. But I don't know. I guess it's just a coin flip for me. It's a big number with two, let's call it a C-minus team and an F-plus team. Hmm. And I don't know. I don't know what you picked there. I will point out, and what you really need to know for this game, is that Zane Gonzalez, as a Cleveland Brown, was 0-17-1.
Oh, my God. Mm. Wow. Wow. I leaned Raiders here basically because the Jaguars have stopped trying and they've given up. And Mitch really puts it over the top for me. I like the Raiders a lot now. I didn't realize last game in Oakland. I definitely think that's a factor here. Before they head off to Sin City. So, and you're laying less than a touchdown at home. So Raiders minus 6.5 is a big lean there for me. Next game, interesting game. The Vikings are road favorites, giving a field goal in L.A. to the Chargers, who blew out the Jaguars last week. The total here is 44.5. Gary?
Yeah, I know the Chargers have found a little bit of stability. Coming into the season, they won a lot of close games last year, and that got them to 12 wins, and I think they were a little bit overrated by everyone. I just think the Vikings are much better, and we talk about it all the time. The Chargers obviously don't have a home field advantage, so I have a pretty heavy Vikings lean in this one, especially,
The Chargers are so weird. Like you were saying, they found a little something. Like, you feel like the Chargers are on a roll here, and they're still 5-8. Like, that's...
I know. They're on a roll, and 2 weeks ago they lost to Drew Locke, who didn't play very well in his first start.
Right.
And I just think the Vikings kind of outclass might be a little bit strong, but I think the Vikings are in the upper echelon, and I think the Chargers are firmly somewhere in the like 15-18 range among NFL teams.
Mitch,
yeah, I'm buying a lot of what you're saying. I think Minnesota's really underrated. And they are totally left out of the discussion about best teams in the NFC. And they can still win the NFC North and be the 3 seed. They're a pretty good team. They've won 7 of their last 9 games, and their only 2 losses were to the Chiefs by 3 points and the Seahawks by a touchdown.
And they haven't had Adam Thielen for several weeks.
Yeah, and I was going to get to that too. So we're taping on Thursday. I think Thielen and Dalvin Cook both practiced today. So Cook, we know, has been banged up, although I think we all like Alexander Mattison too, if he fills in or at least gets a heavier workload. And Thielen back would help them a lot. They just, especially, they had that moment early in the season when everyone thought the sky was falling and Stephon Diggs wants a trade and the season's falling apart and everyone hates Kirk Cousins. It feels like that was like mid-season. That was like week 3 or 4 for like the majority of the season. They've been a good team and not having any drama or issues. Like I said, the last 9 weeks, I just like them. Jimmy, I think you mentioned it's they're in San LA, but there's no home advantage in that stadium.
Right.
There will probably be a ton of Vikings fans there. So -3, I definitely like them to win and cover.
Yeah, I stay away from Chargers, but I do like the over 44.5 here. That Viking offense is very underrated. Chargers have put it together lately on offense. So I think 44.5 should not be a difficult over there on Sunday in LA. Big 425 game. This is your Fox national game here. Rams coming off 2 wins in a row now after beating Seattle last week. Giving a point, that's how far the Cowboys have fallen with their recent play. Rams road favorites, -1 in Dallas, total 49, Mitch.
Yeah, the Rams have been good. I've seen all kinds of stats. I don't have one in front of me, but I feel like all week on Twitter, I've been bombarded with these stats that are like, here's how good the Rams have been over the last X number of weeks or since they got Marcus Peters or whatever. And then that's always followed up with the disclaimer. And that includes that horrible game against Lamar Jackson when the Ravens scored 45 points against him. And then I've seen, you know, normalized, if you take that out, they're even this much better. But they've just been good, and they seem like they're peaking at the right time, too. I wrote them off much earlier in the season and just assumed that they weren't going to be a playoff team at all. And they've, you know, sort of climbed back in the race. The Vikings are sort of still kind of keeping them at arm's length for that wild card. But the Rams are playing like a playoff team now, even if they won't, you know, get in when all's said and done. The Cowboys are more desperate, but I just don't know that they're good enough. You know, they were pretty desperate last week, too, against Chicago, and that didn't seem to make a difference. They've now lost three in a row. So, you know, I've underestimated the Rams a couple of times. We talked, Jimmy, about how we both had Seattle minus one last week, and then you get another situation where the line is just a point in either direction. So I'm going to take them this week, and I like Rams minus one.
Gary?
Yeah, this is really tough. And I'll pile on to Mitch's thing here. It's not really a trivia question, so I won't phrase it that way. But the Rams are the league leader in against the spread record here at 9-4, despite all the disappointments with them this year. They're pretty much outperforming on a week-to-week basis what people think they are. The thing that worries me about this game, and when we've seen these total dud performances from the Rams, it's when they can't block anyone. And, you know, Seahawks had no pass rush, so that was a good matchup for them. The Cowboys can run a little hot and cold. I know ESPN has them as in their team pass rush metric. They have the Cowboys as the number one ranked team in the NFL as far as pass rush goes. I don't know. I don't know why the Cowboys didn't tackle anyone on Thursday night in Chicago. I don't know if it happens again. You know, when these teams went in the playoffs last year, the Rams thought they didn't think they had figured out. They had figured out some patterns with the Cowboys up front, and that's why they really beat them up there. It's tough. I'm leaning Cowboys for those reasons, but my heart is not really in it.
I think this is a really tough game to pick. I don't know. I'm sort of with you on that. I think I could see it going either way. I think people are, I think they're a little too down on the Cowboys. But the Rams seem to have put it together. You know, the Rams are not healthy with Robert Woods back. And they seem to be, you know, Sean McVay seems to have that mojo back. So for me, this is a stay away. I don't have a lean here either way on this game. Last game at 4:00. The Niners coming off that big win in New Orleans last week, giving 11 points to Atlanta, total 47, Gary.
Yeah, it's interesting. I lean Atlanta here for two reasons. Number one, I mean, I know it was just the Panthers, but obviously the Falcons had a good performance last week. They've been pretty good since coming off that bye week and sort of getting their act together here. The one thing I wonder about with the 49ers is, I don't want to say this is like a gadget-based offense that, like, they're doing it with trickery and smoke and mirrors and stuff like that, but it seems like they kind of have some stuff that they keep in their pocket for the really big games, and you saw it against the Saints last week, some of the trick play stuff they rolled out. I don't know if they feel like they need it this week necessarily, so I could definitely see the Falcons hanging around in this one. I do like the under, and I'll throw out the team trend here. Atlanta is 12-1 under the total when playing against a team with a winning record in the second half of the year over the last three seasons. So I think this one's maybe a little bit lower scoring than people expect, and therefore I could see the Falcons just hanging around and you know, only losing by like 7 or 10 points.
Mitch?
Yeah, I also lean Falcons. It's interesting, you know, I feel like I always just look at what they did last week and who's due for a letdown or a bounce back or whatever, and the 49ers, it's an interesting case because on one hand you'd think they might be due for a letdown after a big win against the Saints. On the other hand, you feel like their defense is going to be hungry for a bounce back because even though they won, they still gave up 46 points, so you wonder how they're going to show up. But it just feels like 11 is a lot. you know, they've blown out a couple of teams this year. That Panthers game when they scored 51, and then the Packers game, those two come to mind as far as big blowout wins for the 49ers. But they're a little banged up too, right? They lost their center, I think. Is he out for the year, or at least for
Weston Richburg's out for the year.
And
then they're probably
D Ford is hurt.
D Ford
and who
for
else?
A while.
Who else did they lose?
Sherman.
Somebody else on defense? I know. Well, Sherman left the game and came back. It feels like last week, again, they gave up more than 40 points, and they have a bunch of guys who are coming out of the game and coming back. So they're a little bit banged up, but I have been impressed with Atlanta. They could have easily just packed it in. They were 1-7, but they've been playing hard and winning games. They finish with the Jags and Bucks, so if they steal this game, they could still finish 7-9, which is kind of incredible considering where they were. I know I'm getting way ahead of myself, and I'm not expecting them to win this game outright. but just, the fact that they've gotten back to this point has been impressive. I could regret it. The 49ers are clearly the better team, but 11's a lot, so I'll take the points here.
I like the Niners. I think, the Falcons are a team that's done. Had their nice win against the Panthers last week, scoring 90-yard touchdowns. I think now you go across the country facing that defense. I don't see a letdown here for the Niners after the New Orleans game. I like the Niners here laying the big number. All right, that wraps up the daytime slate on Sunday. Let's roll along now to the primetime games. Sunday night, first time in ages, the Buffalo Bills get a Sunday night game. They go into Pittsburgh. The Steelers are 2-point favorites against the Bills. Lowest total of the season in any game, 36, Mitch.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I knew the total was low because I know that I was like, tough one on the sides, but maybe I'll just take the under. And then I saw it was 36 and couldn't do it. First off, I love that this game got flexed to Sunday night. They did it, I guess before the games 2 weeks ago, and people were kind of looking at it like, okay, but, the Bills, they totally deserve it, and the Steelers are on a roll, too. This game is like a total stay away for me. I've been high on the Bills for a lot of this year and saying that they weren't getting enough respect. And so I do want to pick them. I want to be the kind of person who picks the Bills in a game like this. But also, the Steelers are on a run. They've been kind of fun to watch. Once they got rid of Mason Rudolph, who I know Jimmy couldn't stand, and put in Duck Hodges. So I guess, if you make me pick one for a pick 'em, I'd probably take the Bills. But unfortunately, I'm a coward, so it's a stay away.
Gary?
I have a pretty strong Bills lean on this one. The Devlin Hodges factor, it's a great story. It's just not a very good offense. And you just wonder when they're going to run into a team that they can't completely overwhelm defensively. And I'm not going to say the Bills are a great offense, but they can get a little bit going in the run game. If you can get a big player or two out of Josh Allen, that can swing this game here. But mostly, the Bills have been really good on the road this year. They're 5-1 straight up. They're 5-0-1 against the spread. That push was in Cleveland, where they were really just a missed field goal away from pushing that game to overtime. So, they won handily in Dallas. They blew out Miami. They won at Tennessee, and they blew out the Giants and the Jets early in the season. But they've been a good road team. I think they're a better team than the Duck Hodges Steelers, and therefore I'll go Buffalo in this one.
I'm with everything you said there. Everyone wants to have fun because the guy's name is Duck Hodges. The Bills defense will change that really quick. So I like Buffalo there plus the points. All right, last game of the week. We wrap it up Monday night in New Orleans. Saints giving 9.5 points to the incoming Colts. Total here is 46, Gary.
Colts are just breaking my heart here. This is just a tragedy what's happening to this team. I'll lean Colts here. I really love the Colts, and I'm going to pick them pretty much every the first 6 weeks of next season when they have all their guys back. But, big number. Saints coming off a physical game there against the Niners. The thing that worries me and the thing that really makes this more of a coin flip for me is all of a sudden that Colts defense, which has really been they've overachieved as much as any unit in the league the past two seasons. They just have imploded. They imploded last week. They sort of quietly had issues in that Thursday night loss to the Texans, where the safeties are just it's terrible safety play. It's you know, Malik Hooker is their big, you know, he's their big like early first round pick on that defense, and he's been terrible back there the last couple weeks. He's just getting beat. He's getting fooled. Yeah, I don't know. This isn't much of an endorsement for the Colts, but I will take Indianapolis sort of hanging around and keeping this one a little bit close in sort of a ball control game here.
Mitch?
Yeah, I'm on the other side. I like the Saints. I think they're going to come out pretty sharp here. I always like to look at how teams respond after losses. So the Saints, they lost their third game last week. Their previous two, after the loss, they came back and they won in Seattle. And then they had that ugly loss to Atlanta, came back the next week, jumped up 13-0 on Tampa in the first quarter and won comfortably. They're a better team. They're playing at home. The Saints are one of those teams. You get a night game in New Orleans in the Dome, fans drinking all day and getting crazy at night. I think that's a good environment for them to win a game in and, you know, get up and win by double digits. You know, the Colts, you picked the Colts and you still laid out. I think this is now the second time where you, while picking a team, you lay out all the reasons why they might struggle. So, you know, I'll keep it brief here on the last game. And I like the Saints here.
I like the over here. You know, Colts score points, the wacky offense, wacky coach. They go for it. They're aggressive, trick plays, and you know, don't have to really sell you on the Saint offense here. So I like the over 46 here. Thought it would be a little higher. All right, that wraps up the previews of Week 15 games. We will now go to our best bets and make sure you listen to Gary and Mitch and tune me out when it's my turn because I've been awful lately. Let's start with Mitch. What do you got?
All right. Well, you know, I love road teams. I don't know how many weeks it's been since I took a team at home, but I've got four road teams for you yet again. Miami plus 3.5 at the Giants. Cleveland minus 2.5 in Arizona. The Vikings minus 3 at the Chargers. And the Rams minus 1 at Dallas.
Gary.
I got five. I got four sides here. Bucks minus 3.5 at Detroit. I'm going to go head-to-head with Mitch here. I'm going to take Arizona plus 2.5 against the Browns. I will also go Vikings minus 3 at the Chargers, and I'll take the Bills on Sunday night, primetime Bills plus, what do we have that at, plus 2?
Correct.
Plus 2 at Pittsburgh, and then for my total, I'll take under, what is it, under 48 Atlanta, San Francisco.
All right, I got 4 for you. I wussed out of the Bills. I'm not going to best bet them. I want to, but I don't have the guts. I'm going to give you 4. Chiefs minus 9.5 at home against the Broncos. Titans minus 3 at home against the Texans. Arizona plus 2.5 at home against the Browns, over 46. Colts, Saints are my four best bets.
You're both against me in that Brown. Can't wait to text you guys during every twist and turn.
That'll
and
be
Browns,
fun.
Cardinals.
So I got one more prediction. I think Jimmy's going to get hot down the stretch here.
I don't know. It's been rough. It's been rough.
It would be good for morale.
It's been rough. I mean, listen, it's been rough here. In real life, it hasn't been as bad. Last week was bad, but before that, it wasn't as bad. Well, last week, oh, yeah, the Texans killed a couple of teasers that would have had me in a nice profitable area. But we wish you nothing but profitable areas this week in Week 15, and we will see you back here next week for Week 16. Good luck with the wagers, and take care. Signing off here from the MMQB Gambling Podcast.